Crossroads Diaries, a 19-year-old's Vietnam journey. It's a mixture of poetry, pictures, Bible scriptures, and musical lyrics. But most of all, it is the innermost feelings of a young man who wanted to go out in a blaze of glory.
March 12th, all quiet on the Western Front. But we must be in the Far East Asia and nowhere near any Western Front unless it's a weather storm. Eric Remarque, the author of the novel, says, "This book is to be neither an accusation nor a confession, and least of all, an adventure, for death is not an adventure to those who stand face to face with it." The book does not focus on heroic stories of bravery, but rather gives a view of the conditions in which the soldiers find themselves. I cannot disagree with him when I consider what I am writing in this diary. There has been a death and several other casualties from what is called friendly fire. The gunships were doing what they had to do in order to save the majority of lives. There have been numerous firefights over the last several days. One Army fellow lost his life from falling overboard, and he happened to be the brother of a riverine sailor. There has been a memorial service for five riverine sailors who recently lost their lives. All quiet on the Western Front, but we must be in Far East Asia and nowhere near any Western Front unless it's a storm we are weathering. March 14th, all noise in the Far East. Tango boats are heavier than tanks. Lifting anything out of the water scientifically will seem heavier than it is. An estimated 500-pound bomb mine was placed in the Quaviet River at the DMZ. A tango boat, Tang 1127, found it the hard way. While mine sweeping on the river from a little outpost called Quaviet going to a little village called Dong Ha, the boat was not only lifted up and out of the water, but it was flipped. The boat was destroyed, but worse, so were the lives of six of the seven-man crew. This loss is especially significant because I believe the crew was a crew I trained with back in the States. It is bad down here in the Delta. I just hope I never have to go to Quaviet. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, an Alpha boat was also destroyed by a mine, but the crew survived. If I don't write home soon, I won't survive when I do get home. So here goes.
14th of March, 1968. Dear folks and John. Hiya. From what I understand, the mailman has been having trouble. I've been writing, but you haven't been receiving. I must admit, I haven't been writing a lot lately, but not to the point where you shouldn't have received any letters for 3 weeks. Maybe the mail service will improve. I doubt it. I got the package from the 5th grade class today. Chewed most of the gum in one day. We're like that here. We chew for flavor only. More and more people are writing all the time, and it's hard to keep up. Very hard. But I try. One of the crew members on the boat has a father working in Vietnam, and last night they got to see each other for the first time in 2 years. Right now, they're playing poker with two other crew members. About the tennis shoes, I will be needing another pair in about 2 months. That way I can use them for R&R when new. Anytime you want to send another box of soap and bleach, we'll be fine. No hurry. What would be nice is canned food like chili, tamales, peaches, orange juice, etc. I have candy. It tends to get sticky because of heat and dampness. Kind of messy, but still good to eat. Well, that's all for today. Love, Tom.
I was really that cold-hearted. Am I still that way?
No, but you're also not a candy person. I mean, you were talking about the sticky and candy. I'm like, that's not Tom. He's not a candy person.
Well,
you're not sweet.
I'm not sweet. Yeah, you're right.
Sweet.
I'm not sweet.
You're not a sweets kind of guy.
I maybe all that stickiness, I kind of lost my interest in candy. I'm not sure what all's happened in that area. Mm-hmm.
It's probably a good thing you did chew all that gum in one day, because that probably would have become a mess in the heat and moisture.
It would not serve that gum very well.
Mm-mm. But
I also find it very interesting in this particular entry, the March 14th. I'm talking about a place called Quaviet. At that point in time in life, I knew nothing about a place called Quaviet, nor that I would live there for a year later on in life.
Right. all you knew is they'd heard about, I mean, you just heard that, you just know you don't want to go.
Right.
Because of what's happening.
Yes, because of that boat, a tango boat to be lifted and flipped in the air. I have a friend who's also written a book called The Muddy Jungle River, and he was the boat behind the Tango 7. He was the coxswain on whatever tango boat that was, but he watched the whole thing occur.
Goodness.
And I did believe it was the crew from my class at Mare Island. However, I found out much later in life, in fact, while I was putting this book together, that it was not the crew I thought it was.
Okay. Wow. So
not that that makes it better, but it makes it easier on the system.
Wow. So when you talked about the memorial service for the five riverine sailors, that was a different incident. What is that like? What is a memorial service like when you're there in the midst of it? You know, I know what they're like at home when they bring the soldiers home, you know, with their the flag over the casket or, you know, what it is. But I don't know what it is like there.
With the riverine force, we kind of followed what the Army does for an in-combat zone memorial service, and that means there's the empty boots, the helmet, and their weapon kind of stacked up, and it's very touching. Obviously, a chaplain leads the service, and they're usually quite short, but they have an impact. There's no doubt about that.
But you have a time to mourn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to have that time and that moment.
It is. Mm-hmm. It truly is. But I think what happens is when you start having a whole bunch of them, you get all the more callous.
I could see that.
You have to turn off emotions and feelings.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So friendly fire. What's the actual definition of that? What is
unfriendly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Friendly fire means that side A is shooting at side A and not shooting at side B. We and then the riverine force, our combat was very close quarters with each other, Army, Navy against Viet Cong. But sometimes there were only the distance of throwing a hand grenade away.
Okay.
And we would get into such major shootouts that they would, airplanes, jets, bombers, and helicopters would strafe the side of our boats in order to overdo the ambush site.
Right.
So you're talking some pretty close fire. And of course, the Army's right in there on shore.
Right.
Sometimes just within feet of getting to the boats and they can't get to it. Interesting, the Viet Cong would purpose sometimes to get in between the Navy and the Army and get the Army and Navy shooting at each other. Because of the foliage.
Right.
And they just would start the shooting and duck their heads. And
Wow.
See what happened. So
wow.
It was rather unusual. And then, like I say, you see it in a movie sometimes. They call in an airstrike on their own position.
Yeah.
And
yes.
You just hope they're going to survive.
Yes. And yes. You hope they can get out of the way in time.
What I recall in this, that was that type of situation.
Right.
In order to get a few to live, they had to endanger a few and lost a few because of that.
Very touching.
So it is. The next thing coming up is April 4th, and that's a major date. And a serious one again.
Okay.
You are listening to The Crossroads Diaries, a 19-year-old's Vietnam journey by author, narrator, and host Tom Center, along with co-host Cheryl Chambers. You can find The Crossroads Diaries, a 19-year-old's Vietnam journey on Amazon, Walmart, and Barnes & Noble. You can also follow Tom on Facebook at Thomas Center.